Paul, every line, every team has a top line. What specifically provides a challenge with the Avalanche, their trio there?
It's just the extreme parts of that top line, that, that speed in the middle with McKinnon. I mean, they all have great hands. You've got the grit and you know, good veteran presence there with Landeskog, and of course the Rantanen fellow moves the puck is just like Blake does. So they've got it's just so very similar to our Mark Scheifele line. The difference is Kyle's got a little different kind of speed maybe than Landeskog does. Langeskog's a little bit heavier body, but they're very, very similar.
Well, what have you seen from Patrick Laine's season this year?
You know what? He's made progress in all the areas that we need a 20-year-old to get better at. He's still shooting the puck a ton. He's had his stretches where he's not scoring, and he's had his stretches when he's absolutely on fire. And we'll take that. You know, so many 20-year-olds kind of they can't produce like he does at times, so that it's just the longer you're constantly working his game to get more out of him. With Patty, he's been like a lot of these kids that we've brought in, have been able to produce while they're learning the game, so he's getting better. Much, much better 5-on-5 hockey player than he was a year ago at this time. And he'll just keep, as he gets physically stronger, he'll get a little faster. The reads will come more natural to him. Eventually more zone time. I don't know what his ceiling is. I wouldn't be foolish enough to put one on him at this age. Great player who's going to get a lot better.
A lot of elite scorers in this league, or any league really, are streaky players. And
right.
A lot of the guys in that room say, you know, people outside of the room might think, okay, he's not scoring. He needs to score more when he's not scoring, you know, the goals he gets. And but a lot of those guys say he wears that, the ups and downs. And that's part of being young in the NHL. Have you seen him kind
yeah,
of?
Yeah, there's all different spectrum of those really elite guys that have that one offensive gift on them where they either don't score a whole lot and it doesn't seem to bother them, or they cheat the game until they can get it back, and that's a challenge. He does. I mean, part of the reason, I mean, his confidence is in his shot so important. It's also a negative to him. He thinks he should score every time he shoots the puck. You know, he gets angry when he doesn't, which is great. As long as that doesn't wear itself into the other parts of his game, and I think it's just maturing, just getting older, spending more time here, being able to weather the times when you're not putting the puck in the net. One of the positives for him, he doesn't have to carry the weight of the team on that if he doesn't score, we can't win. So when he's not in the stretches, you know, where he hasn't scored a lot recently, we're starting to see some real good improvements in his game 5-on-5, and that's what we're looking to do.
I don't think anybody would have an issue with his offensive side, but a lot of people seem to think that his defensive side still needs a lot of growth. For a 20-year-old, that's obviously
yep.
clear. Matthew Perreault says learning the defensive side in the NHL sucks, but it's a very important
right.
part, and it's how you stay in this league. But there's also the politics of if you're contributing a lot on the offensive side, do you get more leniency on the defensive side? And how do you feel he's dies a lot there? But how much?
That's a big question.
The defensive part.
There are very few, and you'll be able to find some 19, 20-year-olds that come in on the defensive part of their game. Right? There's not a guy that steps into the shutdown center or wing role at a young age, because it's a learned skill. Think about how many of these guys, and I would say almost all of them, we're not talking about defensemen, but almost all forwards get to the NHL at an early age because of some skill level, right? Incredible speed, great hands, great shot like Patty's got. So that's where their focus is, and I would get away with it more in junior, or because if you have one or two of those guys on your amateur team, you're probably a pretty good team. But then you get to the National League, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. If you don't play well enough defensively, they're scoring against you. So it's a learned skill. He is, you know, this is video almost every day, every second, third day off games, and it's going to take time. You can give those guys a lot more time when they're scoring, right, when they're producing. So I'm not talking about he doesn't play when he's not scoring. I'm playing them the same regardless. But having young players come in and produce buys you time. That'd be no different than Nick Ehlers. Kyle Connor came in a little older, and you know, he had a bit more of a defensive bent to his game. But, you know, Jack Roslovic, all of them. Understanding the defensive part, that's a learned skill. That's why we think Josh Morrissey's pretty special, because he came in and there wasn't a whole lot for him. He had that for a skilled guy who's special, but then again, defenseman. So he's good. Like, you know, like if you got a kid that can buy the hockey team time to teach it and play him, that's a real positive thing.
Just last one on that. When you're so successful coming into this league, particularly on the offensive side, expectations are big, and it just seems, you know, you talk about not wanting to put a ceiling on a guy, but I don't think anybody in the city kind of puts a ceiling on him. I think maybe that's one of the reasons why they expect so much from him. Do you think the expectations are too high for a guy who's 20 and in his third year in the NHL?
Sure, but I'm guilty of that too, right? And the fans are as well, because we're all kind of trying to find the right word. The one that popped in my head was intoxicated by that shot. Like, I'm doing it too. When he crosses the blue line and he's still 4 feet from the top of the circle and knows you're going to shoot, I think there's a chance this thing's going in. I mean, how many guys in the league do you feel that way? Like, if I was crossing the blue line, you might as well go get a Coke, because it's not happening for you. You're not missing anything. But that, so that's part of it, right? So then he kind of wears that frustration. It didn't go in. I can't believe it didn't go in. I'm going to use some Finnish words to describe how my play is. So all we're talking about is those. Would it be any different than when Connor McDavid winds it up from the tops of the circles? Even though there's five guys he's got to go through, you think, hey, there's a chance he could do it, because you've seen it, right? Patty has scored so many goals from places that most guys don't, that you are lulled into an expectation, possibly, that he should score every time he touches the puck, and that's clearly not realistic.
As much as this second half of the season is about getting your team's game to that playoff type level, how much of it also is about identifying an area you might need to bolster at the trade deadline?
I think that happens the entire year, every year. Like, you get into a team that you think is top 16 fairly early, you think that you've got a good enough team to make the playoffs, you're always looking for those places. What makes us unusual is that some of these players are going to look different in a month or 2 months, and that includes Jack Roslovic, but Kyle as well, Patty as well. All of these, they have their curve at this point in their career is very sharp, that you're still trying to figure out where all these young guys are going to get to, and you want to make sure that there's room for them to get to that point as well. So we've got two things. So, you know, where do we think our needs would be? I guess the third thing is what's available for those needs. That's the question that everybody asks at the deadline, what's out there. But we have that third one that's important. The people that we have here, where can we get them to? Well, it would be if we were starting the season today, but if we felt that we saw some really good progress in what we're seeing, we'd want to give them time to do that.
And when do you and Chevy start really talking about that?
It was just all year, more than it. It's not a hey, we're 2 weeks out, let's start looking at where we're at. You're talking about your team, where guys can get to, where some of that for me would be, where do I think I'm going to give guys opportunities to play? Right, we can take just about any one of our forwards, put them left wing with Scheifele and Wheeler, and they're going to score more. So where's the opportunity for some of these young guys to go, and how far do we think we can get them in that time?
You're one of the few teams to shut down that top line in Chicago this year, and I believe...
Usually Weber's doing that to me. It's nothing personal, but usually you're firing out the one, you know, hey, how about that shutout after two periods kind of line, but go ahead.
I believe it was Scheifele's line you mostly used.
Correct.
To do that. They're very, or at least present as very clinical in the way they approach the game. Sometimes it almost comes across as emotionless to us. But behind the scenes, what do you see from them? Do they seem to really get a rise out of challenges like the one they are likely facing today?
Well, for sure. That would be true of all great players going against the other. There's the competition, there's the alpha male-edness, you know, you get a chance to play against two guys who are ahead of you in the points, and you don't want to give them any, and you want to get a bunch, you want to win the game, for sure. I would agree with you, though. I don't think it's emotionless. I think the strength of that line, our line, whether Nicky's there or Kyle's, is they pretty much do it every night. Like, they take on that challenge every night, and they want to do that, so it's not like, hey, we got a really good player coming into town, we'll play hard tonight and take the next five off. They're wired pretty much every night.
Coach, why is Dmitry Kulikov's game looking so comfortable these days?
Speed. I thought, you know what, it goes back to the summer. That was a really significant injury that he had, and he came back quite a bit. Now, 2 or 3 weeks before we thought he would, he put in a lot of really hard time. And it's unfortunate how many times you've seen us. The period that he played when he got hurt, when he suffered the injury, the stuff was maybe the best period of hockey he'd played here. It was really fast. When Dmitry gets to a certain level of speed, he can do an awful lot of things with the puck, and we saw that. Dallas especially, I thought that was, you know, next to that period that he played when he got hurt, the best period game that he's played for us, possibly. He was really, really good in that game. Confidence, you get, you know, that's all we do basically as coaches. How do you get the player in that band where they operate the best, right? For us, it's quickness with him. The injury that he had, so his, this, long answer, but that injury, it's the same one in Buffalo, right? And it held him back. You can't play fast with the injury that he had. And it also started to nag him last year, and it started to be a problem for him, so it affected his game. So now he gets healthy and he's getting back to speed. And I think we're just starting to see what this guy can do. If he can play at that speed, we've got a real fine defenseman there.